says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now here's our last beatitude that we'll be studying tonight. It says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now again, we're down to the eighth and final beatitude, which is, we find there in 10 and 11, is to be persecuted or reviled and or reviled for Christ's sake or for righteousness' sake. We began to discuss this last week and talked at length about persecution. So now tonight I want to talk about kinds of persecution that we could potentially experience as children of God. One is physical persecution. Now the word persecution stems from a Greek word that the basic meaning is to chase or drive away or pursue. And of course that implies danger. That implies the risk of physical harm, a person fleeing from someone that is pursuing them or driving them away. And again, physical persecution is not likely to happen to you and I in our generation in this nation. I mean, it could. It's not out of the question, but it's not likely. But it has been, it still is in countries across the world, and has been throughout history very prevalent, especially in the early centuries of the early church. Once more, I'll recommend to you, if you want some interesting reading, not pleasant reading, not something that's particularly enjoyable, but it's very informative, is the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And what the way the book reads, it's not a cover-to-cover type reading. It's different instances of martyrdom throughout the centuries, primarily the early centuries, and gives in great detail the cause and the reason and the circumstances surrounding each of these people that the subject. And it's humbling, and it's interesting beyond that. There are people being burned at the stake. Of course, being imprisoned, all the way to being placed in a public arena with wild animals and being devoured before the crowds as they cheered. All of these things can be read about in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, literal martyrs throughout the history of the church. Now, so we have personal, or rather physical persecution is a possibility, or as verse 11 tells us, there's potential for verbal assault or verbal abuse, insults, if you will. It says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you." Reviling means to insult or to mock. It's the idea of abusive words, being attacked by another person verbally, and this sort of thing. This is something that even our Lord was not exempt from. He when he stood before the Sanhedrin, he was, the Bible says that the religious Jews spat upon him and mocked him. And then when he went on and stood before Pilate, or just before he was sentenced to crucifixion, even the Roman soldiers did the very same thing. They spat upon him and they began to mock him, of course, and beat him as well. And so Jesus experienced that very thing, the reviling. The Apostle Paul, he experienced a great deal of verbal abuse, as you read about him in the book of Acts, ridiculed for having preached the gospel, ridiculed by the religious folks, the religious Jews. Let me read you this verse right here. You don't have to turn there. It's 1 Corinthians 4:9. Paul says, "We are," talking about believers and those that served alongside him, "we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men." Interesting enough, that word spectacle would have rang been very familiar to the Corinthian church he was writing to, because the Roman generals in that society, in that age, had a practice of taking their captives, their enemies that had been captive, and parading them through the streets as trophies, if you will, of having captured them. Now, that never happened to the Apostle Paul, that sort of spectacle, but that's what this implies, is just being made, the only term I can think of is a spectacle, being made an object of derision, if you will, of being paraded. Well, that's a term that these Corinthians would have been very familiar with. And again, Paul didn't experience that very thing, but he experienced a lot of things very much like that, okay? We're not likely, again, to experience physical persecution, but there is a very good chance that you and I along the way could experience verbal insults and things like that. That's a very real possibility for you and I. Just to live right and to do right can result in people goody two-shoes, or he's holier than thou, or Mr. Self-Righteous, or she's a do-gooder, and all of these various things, terms. And these things can be hurtful, just as hurtful as physical persecution, especially if they come to us from the direction of someone we love, a friend or a family member that's misunderstanding us and what we represent, perhaps resenting us for our lives or whatever. Those things hurt. And then finally, there is, beyond physical persecution and verbal insults, then there is false accusations. We find that also in verse 11. He says, "They shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." If you'll remember, they claimed that Jesus was gluttonous and that he was a drunkard. How can you come up with that from our Lord? False accusations. They accused the Apostle Paul of all kinds of things. They lied and said that he was bringing infidels, or not infidels, but Gentiles into the temple. They accused him of, very slanderously accused him of going around speaking blasphemy and stirring up trouble in each town he came to. And all of these things were the furthest thing from the truth for the Apostle Paul. Again, false accusations. Most of the apostles had similar experiences, and many of them were martyred ultimately because of false accusations in that first century church. But and this can happen to anybody. False accusations can happen to any believer, but it especially happens to those that God places in leadership. For the simple fact that people that are placed in leadership are put in a position to be scrutinized, and rightly so. But when a person or a group of people get it out for a leader, there's no limit to the damage that can be done by lying, false accusations, slander, and these sort of things. And we have to remember that the real enemy is Satan. That's what's behind all of this, okay? The real enemy is the devil. He's the father of lies, okay? And so there's no end to the slander that he would propagate to bring down a spiritual leader. All of us, for that matter. But spiritual leaders especially. Satan, being the economist that he is, I'm telling you, he's been at this a long time. And he knows if he can take down a leader, then he can take down a ministry. If he can take down dad, then he can take down the whole family. If he can take down mom, he can take down the whole family. If he can take down the preacher or the youth director, then he can take down the ministries that they lead and these sort of things. And again, not destroy them particularly, because people have to stand on their own, but certainly hinder those particular ministries. And Satan will do it. Slander is, of course, not just reserved for leaders either, though. We know that. any person that's living righteously for the Lord and living for His sake can experience these sort of false accusations. Somebody just making stuff up on you. And I saw so-and-so doing this, or I heard so-and-so did that. Just making things up. And of course, Satan is behind all of it. So whether it be physical attacks, verbal assaults, or slander, these are the different kind of persecution that a Christian can experience. But remember that we are promised in this text right here, blessedness as a result of that. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to grasp that blessedness. Our happiness is what the term that means could come for this sort of thing. But it can, because God promises it. But He also promises beyond the temporal blessedness, He promises blessedness in eternity. Notice verse 12. He says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." See, the blessedness is applicable immediately, okay? But then now this is the long range. This is the long-term blessings that will come, the eternal blessings. God's blessings can be experienced to a great degree temporally, but it's going to be experienced to the greatest degree eternally. Being forever and ever and ever in the presence of the Lord, that's reward enough, folks. That's reward enough, but it doesn't stop there, because we are rewarded, and we'll look at some scriptures to show you this in just a few moments. We are rewarded many of our blessings in heaven based on how we lived our Christian life. With that being said, I'm going to ask you to turn, and I don't usually move you around, but it'll be good for us to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we'll go back to our text in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to notice these words. There's such a thing as the judgment seat of Christ. And that's when you and I stand as Christians, will stand before the Lord and give answer for our lives. Not give an answer for our salvation. That's taken care of through Jesus Christ the moment we put faith in Him. But look, notice chapter 3 in verse 12. Paul says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation," what's the foundation? Jesus Christ, okay? And your life in Christ. "If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest." In other words, it's going to be revealed. "For the day shall declare it." When we're in judgment, it's going to be all laid out, okay? "Because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now, with that being said, I want you to go over a couple of pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What that verse is simply saying is you and I will stand and we'll answer the Lord Jesus Christ for how we lived our Christian lives. Not whether we're saved or not, that's nailed down, but how we lived our Christian lives. This chapter in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians clarifies it further in verse 10. Watch this. "For we must." It's not optional. It's not maybe. It's not if God, Jesus can fit us in. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There again, that's the judgment seat of Christ, where Jesus, we give answer for how we lived once we came to Him for salvation. Now, heaven's going to be good any way you look at it, okay? No way around it. But it sure is going to be good. The more rewards we have, the more blessings we have as a result of how we lived our life. You can go back to Matthew chapter 5 now, and that's where we'll finish up. Knowing this, that there is a judgment seat of Christ, and knowing that our spiritual lives will have, our spiritual lives here on earth are going to have a great influence on what rewards we have in heaven, that shouldn't motivate us to be greater servants of the Lord. That should motivate us to be more faithful to the things of God. But it should also encourage us that the trials of persecution, back to our subject here, the trials of persecution that you and I may face, whether it be physical, whether it be verbal insults, or whether it be slander, those things are going to result in reward, according to this verse. He says in verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Persecution, to a great extent, puts us in the same boat as all the great prophets we read about in the Old Testament. Again, not saying we're on the same level, but puts us in the same situation as some of the most choice servants that history has. Not all of the prophets, though, suffered a great deal. And how God chooses this, I don't know. It's His will and His wisdom. But some prophets had a great deal less temporal suffering and a great deal more temporal blessings. Some prophets, like the prophet Jeremiah, seemed like his whole life was that of persecution and very little temporal blessings. Obviously, spiritual blessings, but I'm talking about temporal, in that his life was prospered in a way of being well provided for. It seems that he was always somewhat destitute and in trouble with being a prophet. But then on the other hand, you have prophets like Daniel. And Daniel, though he was persecuted to some degree, we know he went to the lion's den, and that's more than one occasion, he was under persecution, but he also experienced a tremendous amount of earthly blessings. He was given tremendous leadership and influence in the society, the lost society around him. God just had his hand of blessing temporally on him as well. And so we don't know. We don't know. There are temporal blessings and there are eternal blessings, and there is temporal suffering for some more than others. I think about the book of Genesis, Joseph in the book of Genesis, and I'm winding up here, okay? Though Joseph was not a prophet in the sense, in the traditional sense of the word, but he was a prophet, okay? He is a great example of a child of God who was persecuted severely, okay? But then also intermittently experienced tremendous temporal blessings. Let me walk you through it for a moment. If you'll remember, he was reviled by his brothers. Remember Jacob's kids, the 11? He was reviled by them. Initially, he was thrown into a pit and going to be left for dead. There was a change of heart there. So then they sold him to the Ishmaelites, okay? He hadn't done anything wrong, remember? And so now he is a slave to the Ishmaelites, taken into Egypt. He's traded off to Potiphar. Then the hand of blessing comes. Potiphar liked him, saw his character, saw his potential. Potiphar put him over his whole house. He's the head man of everything. God's blessings, temporal blessings. Wasn't long till Potiphar's wife made false accusation, accused him of rape, remember? Or accused him of attempted rape. If you'll remember, there again, persecution comes. All his temporal blessings are removed. He's taken to prison because of this false accusation. Persecution, right? Gets in prison, temporal blessings return. The people that run the prison say, "This guy's all right. Let's put him in charge." He runs the whole prison. He's calling the shots. He's got influence. He's got leadership. Temporal blessings. And then the butler, if you'll remember, Pharaoh's butler got out. He was supposed to go put in a good word for Joseph and get him out of jail. Remember? He forgot about him. Persecution, hardship, difficult times. Finally, he had opportunity to get out, and without going into the whole story, was able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Pharaoh saw what he was, kind of man he was, godly man, man of character, and then he's elevated to being the second man in command of all of Egypt, and to our knowledge, that's where he remained for the remainder of his life. You see, intermittently, persecution, temporal blessings. Persecution, temporal blessings. Why that happened to Joseph, I don't know. That might be the way it happens in our life. But you know one thing, he got a lot of eternal blessings too. Now, I want to make this last point about that. Joseph couldn't do anything about the persecution he experienced. When his brothers chose to throw him in that pit, he couldn't do anything about it. He's outnumbered. When they sold him to the Ishmaelites, he couldn't do anything about it. He was enslaved. Went to prison in Egypt. Couldn't do anything about any of these. Couldn't do anything about Potiphar's wife making a false accusation. Couldn't do anything about that. Some of it was physical persecution, by the way. When you're thrown in a pit and you're thrown in prison, that's physical, okay? Sold into slavery, that's physical. So he had all three categories of persecution that he couldn't do anything about. Here's what he did have control over. He had control over how he faced that persecution. The attitude that he had, the character that he exhibited, and the example that he set for those that were watching him, knowing that he was a child of God, is, I believe, what set him up for the temporal blessings that kept coming to him. Get thrown in prison, he didn't curl up in a ball and get an attitude. He made the most of it, so he's leading the prison. You see what I'm saying? How we experience or approach the hardship that comes upon us, the persecution, the people reviling us, and when Jesus said, if they revile you, revile them not again. Turn the other cheek. So how we face when people are doing us wrong, maybe slandering us, perhaps verbal assaults, maybe even a physical assault, is also going to determine. Yes, we're going to get rewards in heaven. Verse 12 tells us that. But we also can contribute to the temporal blessings by just having the right attitude. I love the story of Joseph, man. That's the best story in the whole Bible, in my opinion, outside of Jesus down on the cross, of course. All right, let's go ahead. That's a pretty good story right there. Let's go ahead and stand, and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Guys, this is getting more like normal all the time. We got to get our kids back now on Wednesday night, and we got to get our folks back in here on Sunday morning. We'll just keep chipping away at it. Invite people, encourage people. If they're fearful and they still have reservations about coming because of the virus, so be it. Well, that's totally up to them. But if they're not, then encourage them to be here, okay? Let's be dismissed. Yes.
Can I tell a blessing?
Sure.